So we're going to start in Ephesians 5, and y'all know me, I'm not the most organized preacher or fancy preacher at all. I'm more like a skipping stone. We're going to skip here and there and into the splash. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5. And God gave me this thought, and He keeps changing it, and He keeps growing it, and as He does sometimes. And you know, a man's apt to, ever since I was a boy, you know, I wanted a, one of the one main dreams I had was that God let me have a little wifey and children when I was, you know, in my early 20s and a piece of property. That was my dream. God ain't give it to me yet, but I believe He will. But here I am, 33 year old, and, you know, it's hard not to mully grub, you know. I'm getting old. I wanted to grow this beard to see if it changed colors on me. Don't worry, I won't look like Esau for long. I got a lot of appointments coming up. It'll come off. But anyways, I got to thinking about somebody else who was waiting on a bride. I got to think about our Lord. He's 33-year-old, and I wonder if other ladies came to Mary and said, is that Jesus not interested in none of these girls around here? Is He not interested? You know, his younger brother's probably looking around, you know, and no, Jesus ain't. They're like, what's wrong with that boy of hers, huh? What's wrong? I don't know it. He had his eye on a bride. He had his eye on one. And it ain't one that would have been popular either. He's such a good boy. He needs a nice girl. Oh, no, no, no. Her garments is filthy rags. She ain't much. Ain't much at all. But he knew. Oh, he knew what kind of dowry he had. There was a dowry going to be paid. The finest dowry. You're lost tonight, and Jesus is the groom. There ain't a finer dowry ever going to be offered than what's been offered. He stepped the best of heaven, stepped out, a darling Lamb of God, without spot nor blemish. And He bore our sins and our reproaches. He became sin for you and me, that we might be redeemed. That's as fine a dowry as ever been or ever will be. The darling Lamb of heaven. Oh, He paid the dowry, you see. And, He clotheth in His garments that white vesture, you see. Oh, He provided the wedding dress, you see, for that, for His sweetheart that He had His eye on. He paid the price for, and He provided the garment for. Oh, Mom and Daddy ain't got to pay for the marriage supper. Oh, no. That darling Son of God, He done paid for that supper, and He's going to serve us Himself. Oh, glory. And I can't help but always think of my cousin. It's getting close to marriage time, and he is hunting a house, and I believe by the end of it, he'd almost settled with anything with a roof. But that ain't what we're getting. Oh, no. He found a good one, by the way. Don't let me get him in trouble. He found a good one. Oh, but we got a mansion. Oh, his sweetheart ain't just going to get any old shack. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, glory. There's a mansion. Oh, with that thought in mind of who's the groom, I'd like to preach on Here Comes the Bride. And it ain't as sugary sweet as you think it'll be. It gets a little rough now. I'm sorry. I got two warnings, a charge, and an exhortation. And them warnings is hard to swallow. Let's start with right here. We established that He's the groom. Right here in Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, I told you, he might have had his eye on one that they think not. Oh, but he knew what she could be. Ain't that good without wrinkle? Not even a wrinkle in that wedding dress. Heaven. So we're looking at Jesus is the groom, and here comes the bride. And there's some things that can happen in a wedding. Our earthly weddings, they ain't much pumpkin compared to this. These earthly weddings we have, they just ain't much. For one thing, they release a dove at the end. Oh, not in this case. That dove got released before she even started down the aisle. That comforter, that Holy Ghost. Oh, that Holy Ghost come by. Oh, it says over here, I'm getting a little bit out of order, but that's the way we're going to go. It says over here in John chapter 16, verse 7 through 14, It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Oh, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. That Holy Ghost, that's your wedding ring. Oh, you can't lose it down the sink. Amen. That Comforter, it comes by and it says, will you? And you say, I will. And then you're sealed. Oh, glory. You're sealed. You're his. Oh, you got a hubby waiting. Amen. I remember the night. Oh, it says over in Psalm 116, hell got hold on me. That's how it felt when I was a little old boy that night. And I realized I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have him. Oh, but I got out of bed and I believed on him that night. And I've had him ever since. Sealed. Amen. Oh, I said, I do. And he's with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Comforter, that wedding ring. Oh, glory. Oh, ain't it good over there in Genesis? Oh, Isaac had to wait till he was 40, you see. Then the father sent the servant, give her a glimpse of the jewels of what they had in the promised land. Oh, Rebecca over there. And he spoke of the father and he spoke of the son. And by faith, she had to say, I will. By faith, she climbed on that camel on top of grace and she rode him all the way to the groom. Amen. Oh, that's the way it works today. You tell that Holy Ghost, I will. Whoo, you're one with Christ. You're going to ride that grace all the way to the groom. Amen. Oh, now we get to our warnings. There's some problems today. And we can look at them and we can understand. First thing I want to look at is the murmuring. Don't murmur against the bride. Don't murmur against the bride. We're going to go over to Numbers chapter 12. Oh. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not he spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Oh, it said that Moses was the meekest of the earth at that time, meekest on the face of the earth. At that time, he's the meekest man on the earth. And Aaron knew the Lord, and Miriam knew the Lord. Yet they murmured against his bride. God didn't like that none, you see. God don't like it none. When people murmur against the church, when they murmur against his bride, did you think he gets that mad over Moses' little wifey? What do you think he gets over Jesus' little wifey? Oh, he don't care how dark-skinned she is. Oh, not my God. He gets mighty angry. Oh, and then there was bought for a price. How dare you murmur? Oh, Oh, we're bad about it. I'm guilty. I stand before you guilty. Oh, it sounds like a bunch of preachers talking. I don't care if Miriam is amongst them. Prophetess. Oh, that there, I can preach as good as he can. Oh, low is me. Oh, no. I'm sure I'm glad he got mercy. I sure am glad he let me see it on my own before he has to show it to me. Oh, don't be doing none of that. They each got a job. Aaron had a job. Miriam had a job. Moses had a job. Every preaching man in the land, I dare not speak against them. There's one they can get, I can't. There's a crowd they can preach to, I can't. It don't bother me none. I got that Dollar General crowd. We know how to get happy. Oh, but I tell you what, if God will get that mad when they murmur against Moses' wifey, think about Jesus' wifey. When we're coming down the aisle right now, you know. We're coming down the aisle. There might be murmuring on the left and on the right. You just keep looking at the groom. They may say, look how white that dress is. It ought not to be that white. What they don't know is blood bought, blood paid for, and that blood will cleanse theirs just as white. Oh, so you don't murmur against the bride. Now we're going to go over to them. Don't mar the bride. If murmuring makes him that mad, think about if you trip the bride while she's coming down the aisle. That's every bride's nightmare, that she'll get caught up in that train and trip, ain't it? It just is. It ought to be every Christian's nightmare. It's so easy to do. We're going to turn over here to Romans chapter 14. It says in Romans 14 verse 7, it says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to the God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That bride's coming down the groom, coming down the aisle to the groom. We don't want her to trip. We don't want her to get her dress muddy. That's just a plain fact. You ought not. A lot of Christians, I've seen carnal Christians getting away of them lambs coming to the sheepfold. You can't tell me that if a sheep, have you ever seen horses bully one another? I've seen it firsthand. It come feeding time, one of them will stand in front of the barn so nobody else can get in. It's just in them. Think about a sheep blocking the sheepfold door. You can't tell me that that shepherd ain't going to reach that hook over there and drag that thing. Put not occasion to stumble in your brother's way. I'm guilty of that too. I've told my dirty jokes. Me and the lost men would laugh at it, and some of the saved men. And the Holy Ghost temperature got real cold in that room. I've done it. I've cast stumbling blocks. Oh, it's awful. I hate it. Over in Proverbs, let's see. Proverbs chapter 6, it says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. You say, well, that's talking about a man. Back in the Old Testament, Every time they got to chasing an idol, God called it their whoredoms. Their head got turned. They were looking back at that old white life. They forgot who the groom was. Ho! Ho! If jealousy is the rage of a man, God, one of his very names is jealous. You can't tell me that if somebody gets a Christian to turn their head back to them old ways and old sins, that it don't make God angry. Oh, if it says a man won't spare not one of God's names is jealousy. Oh, and he knows how to do a whipping like none other. Oh, it says over in Corinthians chapter 6, it says, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That dowry that can come out of heaven, that perfect Lamb of God, it didn't just buy your soul. Oh, it bought your mind. It bought your heart. It bought your very body, your very sinews. That's why your mind has to make them legs bend in the morning on the side of that bed. Put on your church clothes, put on your church shoes, and go to the house of God because you love Him and because He redeemed you and He paid a price for every one of us. Oh, praise His name. Oh, you give Him every ounce. Oh, that's right, I'm a leaky preacher. Oh, I'll give Him every drop of sweat, every tear, every... Whoo, it's real good when I go to snotting like a rodeo bull. Oh, it's all His. It ain't much. I wouldn't have paid that for it, but He paid. What a ransom He paid. Oh. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't mar the bride. Don't mar the bride. You say, well, what if they look back where they come from and they trip and they fall, get mud on their dress? He ain't going to call that wedding off because you got a little mud on your dress. After a dowry like that, He ain't going to throw that in the trash. No, sir, that blood cleans better than OxyClean. That blood, you just go back to that same fountain. Oh, you just rinse her off and you keep going. Woo! Hey! Oh. It says, wash another water. What else to say there in Ephesians 5? It says, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What's that mean? You come down that aisle, you hold on to this word. What's that? That's the promise. Oh, that Holy Ghost is an engagement ring. You know, an engagement ring, it's to remind others that you belong to somebody. And it reminds you too. You look down, you see that. Hopefully you remember your sweetheart. When that Holy Ghost bubbles up, hopefully you remember your sweetheart. And when you're in a crowd and that Holy Ghost bubbles up, oh, they seen that thing a-glimmering. Woo! Oh, he belongs to somebody else. Hey, when that Holy Ghost comes out on you in a public place, they're going to know who you belong to. It's that simple. Oh, hey, it's better than any engagement ring, that Holy Ghost. He's wealthy, my groom. My groom's wealthy. Cattle of 1,000 hills, 10,000 hills. He's in a big time cattleman. Hey, man. That's my God. That's my groom. So we've looked at what to do if you don't murmur against the bride. Don't mar the bride. You know, sometimes the bride, if she's got too big of a bouquet, that might trip her up. Bride can trip herself up. It don't have to be from without. But you know what? Just like a sweetheart back in the old days, can I carry your books? He wants to carry your weights. That sweetheart, he wants to tote every weight and every burden. You can walk as free as could be, taking on his yoke. You don't have to carry your weight. You can give him, whoo, he'll tote you every weight and every burden. You don't have to trip. Oh, you want to terrify me? Have Mom tell me she's going to help me move a couch. That will terrify me to death. And I almost always race and carry the whole thing myself. You don't want you. That's my mama. I wouldn't do my sweetheart that way either. I don't want her carrying a heavy load. He don't either. He paid that price, and he'll take every care. Oh. So we looked at the two warnings. Now let's look at the task. The bride's got a job. The bride's got a job. He done provided all the wedding garments. He done paid the dowry. He done got the marriage supper coming, got the mansion coming. What's left for her to do? Somebody got to make out the invitations. Somebody's got to invite them to the wedding. While he's doing what he's doing, getting that mansion ready, you show him that Holy Ghost and that word. Oh, there's an announcement, that word. Well, that's the paper part in that Holy Ghost. You see, the world's watching us come down the aisle because we're getting close. The world's watching us come down the aisle. You know, I ain't never been to a wedding. There might be a few that watch a groom, but they're weird. Almost every head in that place will turn and watch that bride. That's how the world is. They're watching the bride. They can't see the groom because you go by faith to see the groom. So what do? We reflect the groom. That's how you invite them. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Tell them about your groom. Tell them about the one that died for you and paid that price for you and did this for you. Took your filthy rags and gave you a robe of righteousness. And you're going to a wedding supper and you want them there. And you've got a mansion and they can have one too. If they'll but come to the wedding. And there ain't nobody getting in that wedding without a wedding garment. And he's going to give them a wedding garment if they'll but believe the same way you did. Trust the groom in what he did. There ain't a better deal than the dowry he paid. Never will be. Can't be. Oh. So my last point. The mystery of the bride. It was, don't murmur against the bride. Don't mar the bride. We got to multiply the bride. And now we're going to the mystery of the bride. Going over to Corinthians 15. Oh. It says in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You say, what's your name? You know, that bride, she's got a last name. We got that last name way back in the Garden of Eden. You know, that old Adam, his little old sweetheart, saw that fruit was good to eat and took a bite and brought death on her. So Adam, he took a bite too and brought death on us all. That's our last name. It's death. If you ain't got Jesus, your last name is death. That's what you come out of. And if you don't get saved, that's what you stay in. Death. We've got that last name, death. Oh, but that second Adam, says that second Adam's a quickening spirit. His little old sweetheart, she tasted death too. But he abstained from sin and became death and redeemed the bride. We're going to see some more of that right over here in the same chapter, 15. We're going to go over here to, let's see, I'm sorry, 42, verse 42. Says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when you get down to the end of that aisle, don't you dare look back. Back yonder is death. Back yonder is corruption. Back yonder is mortality. You're going to get up here. Oh, glory. Oh, he done throwed the veil back, you know. You can talk to him. Oh, what's that mean? You know what happens when that veil gets thrown back, don't you? Oh, it means you may kiss the bride. Oh, glory. And after that, I pronounce thee. Oh, you're going to get that new name. It's victory. That's swallowed up in victory. Oh, ain't that good? Oh, praise his name. Oh, we're that close. The world's watching us come down the aisle. Oh, and we're about any minute the trump will sound and death be swallowed in victory. Oh, oh. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's that mean? You keep making out them invitations and keep your eye on the groom. Here in a minute, we're going to have victory. That's my message.